Welcome back to the Getting Grit Podcast. I am Brad Pohl, your host, and this is where we tell the stories of sinners and saints. They had traveled the world. They had defeated a Saracen sheik and took millions from him. They would buy a yacht and put it on their Oklahoma pond where it was much too big to float. They bought a biplane, which they would learn to fly, only to find out that you could not fly it through a barn door, even if they flew it upside down. But first, they would buy a secondhand African lion. In the end, they both became gardeners, and they would eventually be buried in their garden next to the lion. But somewhere in this story, they met a kid, their nephew, whose name was Walter. He had been sent to his uncle's ranch to find a treasure that was hidden there. Walter later said, "My mother made a lot of mistakes in life, but one time by sheer accident, she dumped me off with two crazy old men. And here in the unlikeliest place with my uncles, I found a home. They had no idea how to deal with the troubled little kid that I was. In fact, the first thing my Uncle Garth told me was, 'We don't know much about kids. So if you need something, you'll have to get it yourself, or better yet, learn to do without.'" Not really knowing how to communicate, they told me stories, amazing, unbelievable stories. Stories about sheiks and harems and princesses, about valiant men and evil villains, about courage, honor. Somehow they knew these stories were exactly what a terrified young boy needed to hear. Now, cynical adults tend to say these tales cannot possibly be true. But Walter said, "I believe them. And in a way, I still believe them. Because often inside bold tales, we find mystery and virtue far beyond the average tales. When a boy's heart starts to grow into a man's heart, it's because it's always about trust and desires. And some will ask, 'Do I trust that God will fulfill the ultimate desires of my heart?'" Thomas Sowell is an American economist, social philosopher, and political commentator. He states, "If there is anything worse than unfairness, it is make-believe fairness." He tells the story of growing up in Harlem, being taught by a teacher who he describes as from the school of General Patton, being assured that she never cared about fairness, only the strict discipline required to achieve success. And he was grateful for this. She required him to meet standards that were far more difficult given his circumstances versus what others in more affluent places might have been faced with. But that's what made all the difference. Sowell is a Harvard graduate. He continues, "The woke who are attempting to take over the world simply believe that the rest of the world is just not as bright and compassionate as they are. They will tell you that there are solutions waiting to be discovered, yet they already have the solutions, and therefore they have the right to impose them on others." Well, Hub McCann is sitting with his brother Garth and nephew Walter in a bar when a group of young punks come in and begin to harass them. Hub's response to what we call the woke's attempt at imposing their solutions on others, saying, "Here's a perfect example of what I've been talking about. Since this boy was sucking on his mama's tit, he's been given everything but discipline. And now his idea of courage and manhood is to get together with a bunch of punk friends and ride around irritating folks too good-natured to put a stop to it." Walter is sitting there, his heart searching for a treasure that's slowly beginning to grow in him, but now he sees in full display a man-sized heart. You know, the Gospels contain some remarkable truths. Some believe that you can ask God for anything you want, and he'll give it to you so long as you believe. And some believe if a Christian does not have these blessings, then either he hasn't asked for them or he hasn't asked for them in faith. Either way, the boy or the man is at fault. But there is a better way for a boy to learn and a man to understand. It's what every boy needs to know about becoming a man. "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Now, one might suppose you could ask for absolutely anything and receive it. But since there are no examples given in this verse, should dreams of a lavish lifestyle be our go-to? In the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Give us this day our daily bread," suggesting a daily reliance on God. And Jesus states, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Again he says, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Rather than encouraging boys to dream big about what God can give them, we are encouraged as men to have an ongoing daily dependence, asking God for what we need today, not what we dream for tomorrow. After all, we are told, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. After all, doesn't suffering make us more dependent upon grace, his free and undeserving gift? Some may have been raised to have parents and teachers like Thomas Sowell did, and maybe you have as well. And sometimes boys are blessed to learn from the stories about secondhand lions. Things worth believing in that can only be learned through the hearing of great deeds told through grand tales. Well, the hoods in the bar arrogantly asked the old man who he thought he was, given so much sass about them. He answered the first after grabbing him. Hub McCann. I fought in 2 world wars. I was in countless smaller ones on 3 continents. I led thousands of men into battle with everything from horses and swords and artillery and tanks. I've seen the headwaters of the Nile and tribes of deities that no white man had ever seen before. I've won and lost 12 fortunes, killed many men, loved only one woman with a passion a flea like you could never begin to understand. That's who I am. Many years later, in the uncle's final scene, the sheriff told Walter, now a professional writer, says the media has been all over this. I guess any time a World War I biplane crashes doing acrobatics with 2 90-year-old men, neither of which has a pilot's license. Well, that's news. The sheriff handed Walter a copy of the will. It simply read, the kid gets it all. What more did it need to say? Hub had given Walter his unabridged what every boy needs to know about being a man speech years before. And someday, very soon, Walter would pass it on to his 2 sons. It begins with, people are basically good. Honor, courage, and virtue mean everything. The power of money is nothing. That good always triumphs over evil, and true love never dies. Walter had recalled when the lion died. She was a real lion, a real jungle lion, a real African lion. The kid really did get it all. Ain't it so? This is Getting Grit, signing off. Blessings to you all. Dominus vobiscum.